While you're turning to our text, I just hear this in the spirit. Somebody needs to hear this morning. Are you ready to hear this? I believe that for many of you, how do I word it, Lord? The war with your wilderness is coming to an end. Sometimes we feel like we're just going around in circles in the wilderness of unfruitfulness. But I believe the Holy Spirit has decreed that this coming new year, once again, is a year of tremendous fruitfulness in the Lord. Tell the person next to you, look at them and say, next year is your year and my year. Amen. We're decreeing that, aren't we? And you know, all of us, we have tremendous times and seasons of great intimacy with the Lord Jesus. But as Hannah cried out, she wasn't just satisfied with an intimacy which she had with God, but she wanted to bear a son. She wanted with that intimacy a fruitfulness to bear life. And that's what I know that many of you are hearing in the Spirit. Thank God for our experiences, that experiential knowledge that we've entered into with the Lord. Thank God for it. Amen. But how many know that that has to be translated into benefiting others? What God has revealed to us, what God has spoken to us in turn, we bless mankind with that revelation. I love in John's Gospel, chapter 15, it says this in verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do what I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Now here's what I want you to particularly see, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. I want to experience God's love in its highest form. Amen? I want to know, how about you, the more excellent way, the way of love. It says right here in our text, no greater love that a person has than to be willing to lay down their lives. And I prayed in recent weeks, I said, Lord, I pray in a greater way that all of what you've brought me into experientially, and I'm still growing and learning, I want to somehow be able to, once again, translate that into benefiting others, that they can enter into those tremendous experiences that God has for them, amen, to walk in. You know, I really sense that in a few moments, there's a fresh anointing that's coming upon us. And I'm going to term it this way, a friendship anointing. A friendship anointing. I don't call you servants, but I call you my friends, Jesus is saying. What a tremendous position, amen? What a tremendous access we have with him. If we're friends, we have an access. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 12, it says, in whom we have boldness, say that word with me, boldness. Access, say it with me, access. And I like this word, confidence, by the faith of him. Access. Let's look at that word for a moment. It means freedom or liberty to interact, to even dialogue with the Lord Jesus, to come into Christ's favor and to come into his assistance. This is the literal rendering. It simply means an introduction to the realities, hear this, of asking the Father and having see it given to us, no matter how great of the need it is. Now, I want you to know, this congregation, I hear this prophetically, we're springboarding into not just a wonderful reliance in the trustworthiness and faithfulness of God, but we're going to springboard into an active faith where God is going to orchestrate steps or acts of faith that are just going to absolutely change people's lives. Amen. Right here, because of our access, being called friends, we can ask of the Father, and He'll give it to us. Hallelujah. Why? Because with that word access comes acceptance. Say that with me, acceptance. Simply what it's saying to you and I is that I accept you. This is what God is saying. I accept you with the same fervency of acceptance when I accepted my own son when he walked the earth. Oh, I'm going to say that one again. I accept you with the same fervency of acceptance when I accepted my own son when he walked the earth. He's the first fruits of many sons. 1 John 3 says, we are the sons of God. Amen. And in that understanding, I love what it says in John chapter 5. It says, verse 19 and 20, because the Father loves the Son, He will show Him all things. I just love that. Because the Father loves the Son, He will show Him all things. And what I believe God is saying this morning is that I'm going to make known all things to you. This is what the text says. You're not just servants, as important as that is. But servants just have limited understanding or knowledge of what the Lord is doing. I elevate you into a friendship, love experience with me. I'm going to share elements of intimacy, details that I don't share with the servant, but only to my sons. But listen to this. You know, I have a wonderful son, but even as he is my son, he is my best friend. People ask me, who's my best friend? Now, I'm sorry, honey, you're my precious wife, but my son is my best friend. You see, because, you know, he has the understanding, he's my son, I'm his father, but yet there's an element of friendship. I love what it says of Moses, that he was called the friend of God. There was just something about Moses and his relationship with the Lord, and Jesus is saying is, what I have heard, I'm going to make it known to you, because you're not just my sons, but you're friends with me. And there's a union there, isn't there? There's an intimacy, amen? There's a oneness there that's experienced, but also expressed. Everything that God wants you to experience when you walk with the Lord, He wants it expressed to mankind. Next year is the year of the manifestation of God's love to people, greater than they've ever seen, I believe, or encountered with the Lord. You're going to make God real to people because of that oneness, that unity. It's like I'm hearing heaven's realities will be revealed to your spirit, ma'am. And people are going to enter into that. And it's going to be manifest and expressed through your life. I like that phrase. Ooh, I like that. Don't ask me to repeat it because I can't. Well, I got to encourage myself. Brother Maloney, that was just tremendous. Okay, anyway. There is a boldness. Everybody say boldness. You know what that means? We can have boldness as well. We can express boldness, just as Jesus expressed it. We have a confidence. What that simply means to me is that I have a confidence, a knowing that God is going to use me. Now hear this, in sharing my unique expressions, my unique personality, how Christ wants to express Himself through me and the unique attributes and characteristics that I have. How many know, thank God, you are who you are? For many of you, thank God there's only one of you. But anyway, hey, you know what? As anointed as Jesus was, how many know Jesus had peculiar and unique characteristics? He was his own person. How many know he was human yet divine? Amen? And you are who God has created you to be, to express God in a very unique way. And what Jesus experienced was expressing his humanity, but also being anointed by the Holy Spirit. And I just find that intriguing, that the anointing of the Holy Spirit comes upon or enters into your humanity. And you, in a sense, in Christ, become the Word made flesh to people. I've said this to the students many, many times. The problem with people out in the world concerning God is he's just not really very real to them. He's a theory, he's a concept, he's a sermon. But you know what? I believe in this great anointing that's going to come upon us in a few moments, this friendship anointing. You're going to come into the new year of fruitfulness, a greater understanding of what it means to be in union, oneness, being knit with your friend, your greatest friend, and his name is Jesus. Amen. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, and it says in verse 13, it says, I love this, the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And it goes on to say, then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. That is absolutely awesome. Now I'm going to share with you a very dramatic supernatural experience that my wife and I encountered many, many years ago. I'm going to make it brief because in a few moments we're going to begin to pray. But this encounter crystallized in my spirit, and I'm still once again growing in it, what it means to be a friend. I love the scripture. Where's it at? In Proverbs, I think it's 18 and verse 24. There is, how's it go? There's a friend that sticks even closer than a brother. What I'm trying to convey to you, beloved, is that yes, we're sons and daughters, but in that relationship of sonship, encounters with him, we understand that there is a relationship of friendship and intimacy. Our hearts being knit together where what once again, you know, was revealed to Jesus is made known to us. Does it make sense? And this is what the new year of fruitfulness, how you're going to express and what you're going to enter into and how it's going to affect many, many people's lives. My wife and I were asked to minister in a particular banquet service. And this was many years ago in my early 20s. I was pastoring. And this was one of my first outside, you know, ministry gigs. And so I was prepared to minister. And I thought we're going to have this amazing miracle service. But the problem was it started at 6:30. But by the time they turned it over to me, 6:30 in the evening, it was about a quarter till 10 at night. Because they'd had so much going on, and I think there was this banquet and barbecue spare ribs and this and that, and it was not a wonderful, conducive setting for the Spirit of God to move. Everybody was burping on their spare ribs and this and that and looking at the clock, and there wasn't any sense of anointing, and the waitresses and waiters were coming in and picking up the glasses and dishes and making a bunch of noise, and I'm trying to share my testimony, and finally, in utter futility, I just stopped and said, I just can't do this. And I remember saying this. I remember saying, look, brethren, I said, I just really don't sense the anointing here. I know the Holy Spirit abides within you, but he's not really in our midst here, so I'm not going to go through the motions. I might as well just sit down. Can you imagine that? As I prepared to sit down, I think she was close to about 15 years of age, stood up with her mom, and her mom basically led her, practically carried her to the front. Because this little girl, her spine was bent in a half circle. And she had this huge back brace in excruciating pain. I believe several surgeries, much medication of no avail, in tremendous pain, as I said. And the doctors had given her up saying, you're just going to be a cripple and you're going to be in this pain. There's nothing that we can do. And so she came because it was advertised, you know, that there's this couple that's going to minister healing to people. So she came with a heart of expectation. But she thought when I was sitting down that her opportunity of being healed was passing her by, so she just got up spontaneously, said, Mom, take me to the front. I can't miss my opportunity. And I'm still not sensing the anointing. And they're all looking at their watches and looking back at the clock and, you know, this and that and, you know, restless. And so I just sat down. And so she very slowly came up and stood up in the front. And, of course, the intuitive person that I am, I thought, you know, I ought to go up there and ask her what she wants. And so I remember I went up to her and I looked at her and I said, what is it? And she related to us basically this condition and my heart went out to her. Now, when I made a step forward to her, the anointing filled the place. You ask my wife. I mean, it was like the second of glory of God just filled the place. People begin to sob and weep. Some begin to fall out of their chairs on their knees because the glory just came in. And I went up to her to put my hand upon her forehead. And when I did, I heard a very strong but the still small voice of the Lord, a word behind me. I don't understand that. I'm going to ask the Lord when I get to heaven. How come at times when I hear the word of the Lord, it's kind of like behind you. And I heard this word, stop, do not minister to her. Well, I thought it was the devil. So I just, you know, rose up and said, I'm going to rebuke this voice because of course I'm going to minister healing to her. A second time, it was more emphatic. Now to me, the second time, it became audible. I could hear it. Stop, more emphatically, do not pray, do not minister to her. Well, I went ahead anyway and stretched forth my hand because I don't have this experience happening every day. The third time, the captain of the Lord of hosts, his name is Jesus, spoke and said, stop, do not minister to her. Immediately, I went into what the Bible calls a transcendent experience. I went into a trance, a static experience, a visionary experience. And as I turned around, I went into slow motion. I know that sounds strange, but the surroundings, natural surroundings, began to blur. And as I moved, it was almost like in slow motion, I looked at the whitened wall, and it was like in another dimension, I was seeing through the wall. And all of a sudden, I saw the flicker of a light move very quickly and came right into the congregation. Now, when that happened, people began to cry out. There were a few that saw the light. The majority knew something was happening, and so they began to fall on their faces. This young lady was having an open vision of Jesus, just like you're seeing me. And I saw what the Bible calls the similitude. In the spirit realm, I saw in the realm of the spirit, in a visionary mode, the outline. You have to understand that when Jesus walks, there's this glory. Come on now. This, I call it the afterglow, follows him in his glorified state. And it was so awesome because I'm standing, I'm feeling like my heart's going to stop. Do I take my shoes off? What do I do? Half of the people are on their faces. And Jesus looked at me, and I heard the voice of the Lord. Now I entered into a greater vision where it became the spiritual realm more real than the natural, and he became more distinctive to me. His voice became more distinctive, and Jesus spoke to me and said, I will minister to her. Now, I want you to know, I'm making a point in this. I took the biggest giant step backward you've ever seen a person can make. I'm thinking, my God, what is happening here? This is awesome. And this young lady's standing there like this, bowed over in excruciating pain. Tears begin to fall down her face. And I'll never forget. Now, hear this. Here's the point of what I'm sharing this with you. Are you still with me?
Yes.
He went up to her. Now, Lord, help me to articulate this. You have to understand that Jesus is his own person, just like you. He's divine, yet he has humanity. He has unique characteristics, personality traits, different than yours. And Jesus, you have to understand, I don't think Jesus was very religious. In fact, what was conveyed to me was just how spunky he is. And I believe Jesus had an amazing sense of humor. He created you. But anyway, he had an amazing sense of humor. Almost like, I could picture Jesus, you know, up in heaven, you're going along, here's the river of life. And I could just envision Jesus getting this smirky look on his face. Just, you know, mischievous look. Just going to grab you and throw you in the river. Hallelujah. Trust me, that's speculative. But just, it was dear. It was dear. I'm seeing the similitude of Jesus. He goes up to her and he takes his right index finger and he turns and smirks at me. Like making a point. And just went, poof. Just went, poof. Just like that, purposely. And he comes back. I'll never forget this. He comes back. Now I'm entering into a fullness of visionary. I'm sensing him in bodily form in the natural realm. And he comes up to me. And he puts his arm around me and gives me this bear hug, this hug. And then he has to back away a little bit to look into my eyes. And then the scripture came to me, there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And Jesus said, I call you my friend. You can go ahead and finish your healing service. That's my wife. She was there. And just walked right through the wall. Now, let me tell you something. I said, God's here. Do any of you want to respond to the saving knowledge? Of they all started coming up. How many of you want to get healed? I don't know how long we were there. What, another hour, hour and a half, 2 hours? Hours. People getting ministered to, miracles and healings. And by the way, the young lady's spine completely and totally straightened up. You see, up to that point of time, I lacked an element of confidence. I lacked an understanding of how to express what God had put within me. Because, you know, I was still laboring under the concept, let no man despise thy youth. And, you know, I have these difficulties and issues and shortcomings and idiosyncrasies. And I'm, you know, I feel there's this anointing and calling in my life, but there's, you know, a lack of, you know, maturity. And yet I'm growing and I'm sincere. But yet, Lord, how can you use me in a very supernatural way with all of these issues? And yet what God was trying to convey and what he's trying to convey to you and I is this. I created you for just who you are, to express my life through your uniqueness of characteristics and traits. And you've got to learn and enter into a freedom to be just yourself.
Now hear this. And in that sanctified expression of just being yourself, you have a confidence to exercise a boldness based upon your acceptance and your access with Him. Some of you are trying to be someone or something that you're not called to be. Let me tell you, acceptance says God grants us access to ask with all of our human characteristics and all of our human frailties. If you have to wait to become perfect to be used of God, you'll never be used. That's what's so great about this ministry of reconciliation. It's in spite of us, yes, many times, but through us. That's the hope. Christ in you. The hope of our glory. See, many of you are going to be set free in a few moments. There is this form of condemnation that's come upon many of us. We're apprehensive. We're apprehensive to step out in faith. We're so uptight. Some of you need to get delivered of yourself. God's not given you the spirit of timidity, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. The church of Jesus Christ, hear this, as we pray, needs to be loosened. You know, some of you need to just begin to express what God's put within you without any fear of reprisal, of how you think even your leaders or your mentors are going to see it. Every servant leader in this church desires for you to be who you are and expressing what God's given you to humanity. Amen. Without the fear that if you do it incorrectly, that under the guise of accountability, we're going to, you know, so scrutinize you because you made a mistake. You're not doing it to us. You're doing it to the Lord Jesus. What if you do, do it in word and do. Do it all for the glory of God. And I guarantee you, every man and woman that's used of the Lord to be a servant to you, that you've come under their accountability in the delegated authority of God's grace. I'm telling every one of you, every one of them will just release you and affirm you, amen, and encourage you to step out, to be free, come on now, to exercise in those giftings, to give that word. Well, what if I miss it? Join the human race. You're human. But yet, you know, God's greater. It's a friendship anointing. I call you my friends. Let's translate all of this glory, experientialism, into practicalities of supernatural expression of God's life to the people out there that God's called you to impact. Just realize that there's a way that you're going to express Christ that can only be expressed in meeting that person's need. I can't. Others cannot express Christ in the way you can. There's a lot of folks that are missing opportunities of encountering God through your life because some of us are waiting to come to some level of perfection and maturation before we step out in the boldness of God, in the confidence of God. And this is, next year is the year of tremendous friendship encounters with God. I call you my friend. I mean, can you imagine that? I call you my friend. And he gave this most wonderful chuckle. There's no laugh like Jesus' laugh. He just like, you know, have fun. be yourself. Because here I was, a young man, I'm envisioning so-and-so and so-and-so. And oh, how mightily Oral Roberts was used and so-and-so was used. And here I, who am I? I'm just a 20-something-year-old. So I've got to somehow, what I perceive in this man or this woman, I've got to come into that level of perfection and maturity before you can use me, Lord. And so I see this kind of personality expression. And so I guess I've got to adapt that into my own expression. Yet, you know, that's who they are, and I am who I am. There's certain aspects in people's lives that are of the Spirit that you say, Lord, I want the qualities of what I see in Christ in that person's life. But you know, be free. Be liberated.
Amen.
Amen. It's time to throw off any intimidation in Jesus' name. Because it's the work of the enemy to intimidate. I want you to stand right now. Ooh, I sense something here. Who knows? Jesus may walk through the wall here. How many know Christ is here? How many know Christ is here? Come on now. Let's just... I hear the Spirit of God saying, this is the place of spiritual Mount Zion to cause you to be established as pillars in the city of God. We've come to the spiritual heavenly Jerusalem. We've come to Mount Zion. The Lord is causing you to rise even higher in your expectation, your longings. The heart cry has been heard. He's going to convey to you in His counsel, His purpose. He's going to unlock the secrets of your heart for His desire to fulfill your desire. Many of you are asking me, Lord, I just want your desire in my life to be fulfilled. I say in return, convey to me what your desires are. Because I've created you with an amazing gifting and creativity of expressing my life and fulfilling your heart's desire. Dream. Believe. Encounter. This is the day of great fruitfulness. This is the day of enlargement. This is the day of expansion. Oh, Lord, hear our hearts cry. Come on now. I respond. Lord, every man and woman here, every child, they're unique. There's no one like them. They've got an amazing plan and purpose for their lives. Lord, help us to understand that you call us friends. That this next year of fruitfulness is a year of friends. Sharing with friends. Their hearts being knit together, not just with you, our greatest friend, but with one another. Oh, Jesus believes in your potential. Come on now. We as servants, leaders, believe in your potential. This church believes in you. Believes in what God has placed within your life. And yet, do I really have the same access to the Father as Jesus had? Lord, Do you accept me with the same fervency of acceptance? Absolutely. That tells me that God the Father's desire is for your prayers to be answered just as quickly as if Jesus literally himself was standing here praying. When are we going to get a hold of this? I don't think I fully understand it. But this church is going to enter into it. It's time for some of you. Come on, let's pray. It's time for some of you right now to get free. You just look at your humanity, you look at your shortcomings, you look at your frailty, all that's wrong. You know, you got to understand, some of us, we have faults, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they are sin issues. There's a big difference. Every person in this place is sincere, I believe, before the Lord. We have shortcomings, we have faults, we lack wisdom, but that does not nullify us, negate us, disqualify us from healing the sick, cleansing lepers, and raising the dead. I saw at 20-something years of age just as many, to the glory of God, startling miracles as I've seen in my 40s and early 50s. That's what Jesus was conveying to me. You're my friend. So go finish your healing service because I'm going to be with you. I thought, my healing service? It's yours, Lord. Oh, we know it's the Lord. But he was conveying identification. How many's ready this morning? How many of you right now? Come on, just press in. Something's rolling in this place right now this morning. There's some healing need here. There's some real... This new year, there's going to be such a freshness in your prayer life, an expectation and believing that God's heard, that God's intervened, that whatever you put your hands to and the task that's set before you, oh my, 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 the sense of authority, the sense of God's presence, hallelujah. So many of us were waiting to come to a level of maturity before we exercise whatever authority God's given us, and yet we don't realize that the authority is already ours. Amen. He gave it to you when you were saved. Amen. God is just baptizing people in a confidence here. A confidence. It's going to turn around. It's going to change. You're coming out of your wilderness. Come on now. Hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Some of you, the enemy has used your infirmity physically. He's used the mental harassment, the emotional traumas, woundings that just are used as cloaks of condemnation and weights, saying, I can never enter into this acceptance and access, this boldness, this confidence, as a friend. God's going to knit your heart with his. Jesus is your greatest friend. What I hear of the Father, I'm going to make it known to you. This is what we're hearing for the new year. What I hear of the Father, I'm going to make it known to you. You're going to leave this place still being yourself, but with a renewed sense of the Holy Spirit working in and through your humanity. Let's get you free right now. Let's get you free from any sense of condemnation. The greatest barrier between you ministering like Jesus to a person is that sick person is standing in front of me. Do I have the same access that Jesus had? And I could draw on the same grace and authority to minister to that person. That's your greatest issue, is that wall. It's what I call the wall of isolation. It's one thing, if your faith's been developed and you've seen many healings in areas, you've got a confidence. It's another thing when it's a person in advanced stages of cerebral palsy and you see all of the natural expressions, ramifications of that disease in that person's body and saying, oh God, that's such a great need. When you know what? Listen to me. You know, with God, nothing's impossible. Yeah. Now, we know that. But how do we get that translated? Well, this is the first step. Some of you, I believe, you need to come into that awareness of he's your friend. You're his friend. And yet the issues of life has placed a condemnation. You feel you're bound, that you can't express who you are in Christ. Does that make sense? God wants you free. I want you to come here and stand up in the front right now, because we are being set free right now of this yoke of condemnation, this intimidation. I hate religious spirits. Because you know what religiosity does? It establishes a form of godliness. A form. And it says this, that you've got to measure up to this particular level or standard, this peer's view of what a standard is before you can be used. God says, yes, I'm going to deepen you, sanctify you, cleanse you, renew you, bring you into a greater Christ-likeness, but you're still going to be yourself. You're going to be human until the day you die. Hallelujah. Some of you don't change. Be that hilarious person with that gift of, amen, of humor. Amen. For some of you that are more seriously minded, just be who you are. Be that quiet, serene person. Be that joyful, jovial person. Amen. Some of you are going to just come into who you are. You've been so stunted for so many years. Push down, press down. Don't express, don't speak. Just be seen, never heard, never expressed. And God is about ready to do a miracle in your life. And because of the miracle that's going to take place in your life, Jesus is going to become very, very real. Very, very real. What is your name? Christine. Everybody just begin to pray in the Spirit. The time has come for you to release all of the entanglements that have gripped your heart in the 7-year period of laboring into what you felt has been a poverty mentality. Because the enemy has tried to bring to the forefront of your view things that he truly set you free from. But yet you felt generationally and yet also through relationships that there is not that ability to spring forth into the fresh expression that I've placed upon you because of the little foxes that have been trying to spoil the vine. There's been one infirmity after another that has created a harassment, that has closed the windows you have felt, needs that have arisen, not just materially, financially, But what it's done is it's done a work of torment in your mind, and you've just wondered if I'll ever be free from the apprehension or the fear of failure. And so the Lord wants you to know, my faith is arising within you. The greater one is there. I'm setting you free. Oh, I feel it right there, sister. I know the grief. I know the anticipation and expectation that you put in others. You've not seen the fullness of the expression, but this is a new day, a new song. I'm turning the page in your life. Honor me. Honor my word. Stand firm. Go back to what I originally spoke to you in the simplicity of that time. Know that everything else that's brought confusion, I'm not the author of confusion, but a peace. Oh, there's the peace that's being extended to you. Sister, you're going to be changed. Come on now, let's everyone that's in their seat, you can enter into this. These are yokes. What is your name?
Alice.
Alice. The time has come for you to enter into a new phase of understanding of my love, to be free from that which was placed upon you as a mantle that was thrown because of a previous generation, a manipulation. You've labored under a lot of manipulation, a lot of witchcraft from a particular ethnic group and a particular area of a nation. You are a miracle. The enemy twice tried to take your life. You know this. He's protected you. And as he cleansed you and healed you of the infirmity within your blood, this Lord is showing this to me. I'm going to complete it right now. Set you free from what has been pressure in your mind. The headaches will cease. The infection will not return again a second time. Because you've seen a severing of that yoke, that word, you're free. So you're moving forward. You're lifting up a standard. It's going to cause a tremendous salvation expression of my grace that's going to convince many people the reality of who I am. Hallelujah. I felt that anointing. Everyone in this place, everyone that's standing, everyone that's seated, just this is a time. There's a yoke breaking anointing. Come here. What's your name? It's time to release your heart's desire. Trust that I guide and direct. Your heart's cry has been heard. I'm going to begin to work a work of confidence and instill into my faith to fulfill your heart's desire. Call upon me, I will answer you. Ooh, I sense the gifts of healings going through you right now. Let's bless her right now. I sense physically some scar tissue. Put your hand right there, right in that area. Oh, everybody worship the Lord.
The Lord's done a work of healing at the appointed time. He will be with child. In Jesus' mighty name.
Sendelevesotorabasi. Something has not finished healing within your life. There's the start, but there's the finishing, which you have felt emotionally that has been draining because of the circumstances that have been somewhat chaotic. As well, peace has been extended, but it's going to be manifested in the strengthening of what you're in need of right now in Jesus' mighty name. There's several of you that are getting set free from perplexity, difficulty, oppression that's manifesting itself within your physical body and in your joints. Oh, I just sense arthritic conditions are diminishing right now. Let's everyone just call upon the Lord that has that condition. I see it's interconnected here. Just a few more moments. Just sort of interconnected. You've had this thing long enough. Some of you, it's just like bundled up issues within your stomach area. Bleeding issues. It can be also ulcers that have just knotted up your stomach. This has manifested itself in an incredible searing aspect in your esophagus. And so I'm just seeing it right now. I'm just seeing a dissolving of ulcers right now in Jesus' name. And this reflux condition is ceasing right now. The condition within your body, in your knees, into your feet, the bottoms of your feet, sister, there's been chronic issues of soreness. The Lord is setting you free right now. Whew, hallelujah. You ready for that? Yes. Particularly the right side of your body. Whoa! You're getting healed. The right foot in particular. Right now in the name of Jesus. It's been totally, her whole right side, right. It's been totally out, she said. Right now you're being healed. Ooh, you're going to be able to run through a troop and leap over a wall. Let me step back here. Come here, Orlando. My son, don't question what I've begun in your life. Because truly, a seed has been sown, and I will water that seed and bring forth a 30, 60, and 100-fold return. For this is the beginning of steps of victory and liberty in your mind. Haven't I said within my word, I've given you my mind? I want you to know you've come out of darkness into light. The past is old. You're new in me. I'm closing the door of the past. I'm opening up the door to the new. And this yoke of condemnation, this yoke of oppression, I just feel that you need a real work within even your brain cells. Let's pray for him right now. Let's that cloud, that band around your head. In the mighty name of Jesus, I take authority over every spirit of oppression. Break off of his mind in the name of Jesus. The spirit of manipulation, the spirit of witchcraft right now, in the name of Jesus, cease your operation. We sever you from the influence of that in the name of Jesus. What's your name, sir?
Marcel.
Marcel, right now there's a new step of innovation, opportunity. Your gift is going to make room for you. It's going to open up the sphere of influence that's going to grant you opportunity to build in the kingdom resources that will cause the advancement of his purpose in your life and your loved ones. The Lord says that it's been line upon line, precept upon precept. Now I'm going to cause you to launch into, you're not going to be presumptuous, but you're going to be taking tremendous steps of faith and leaps into, oh, opportunities that are waiting right now. I've been orchestrating circumstances in the past 18 months. I have been moving people out, moving people in. Promotion comes not from man, but from me. So as you've honored and so, oh, there it is. Hallelujah. You're going to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. Oh, someone else needs to hear that. In Jesus' name.